awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible. Real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Prophecies fulfilled. Signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. I can almost see the Father saying, "Son, go get my children." Hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13 verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible. Real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Around me, I see prophecies fulfilled. Signs of the time, they're appearing everywhere.
A very good evening to our listeners. This is Spirit 88.3 FM. The program is Issues of Life. I'm Eben, and tonight I'm in the studio alone, but with MBY, my producer here, and Brother Yao will be doing social distancing. He's at Takwa, so he'll be joining by phone. And yeah, we thank God for another week, and the Lord's mercies and His grace is what keeps us going. Indeed, the times are getting interesting by the day. I mean, if you look at the news, what is happening in the U.S., in Europe, the protests that are happening and all. But if you're a Christian and you've been reading your Bible, you shouldn't be surprised, because all these things have to happen. There's a system that has to come, and that is what is taking place. You know, there can't be a one-world system if there's racism. And for there to be a one world system, we have to agree to be one. So racism will have to be destroyed for the one world system to be effectively, set up. And that's exactly what we are seeing. Very, very interesting times we are in. Things are taking shape at a very fast rate. Unfortunately, how do I put it? Many Christians are oblivious of what is happening due to, you know, what they've been told and what they believe in. So it's all like, oh, this too shall pass. This thing will pass. These are just, you know, normal things that will pass. So people are refusing to see the real things happening in the times we really live in. And the truth is, worst days are ahead. I mean, well, people can tell you good things and sweet things to make you feel good. But for this program, by the grace of God, we'll tell you the truth. It may sound absurd. It may sound as though we are crazy, but we say it as it is. I mean, there were things we said some years back, people thought we were off, and now it's happening. And truth will always stand. So it doesn't matter how long, if it is the truth, it will stand. And it's better to tell people the truth, though it will be unpopular. It's like you are standing at a junction and everybody is running to the east, and you alone, you are running to the west. And you tell people running to the east that, no, you are going the wrong way. And they will say you are crazy, you are mad, you don't know what you are talking about. But when they keep going to the east and eventually they hit the rough road and the dead end, they will realize they have to now turn back and follow you, the single person going the right way. And it's just about time. And say time will tell, as they say it all the time. And by the grace of God, I mean, God is giving many warnings to his children. I mean, lots of warnings. This morning, I mean, I woke up, the messages I had to read, prophetic messages in the U.S. and elsewhere. And, you know, it's the same message that God is saying. But it looks like we have two opinions or two sets of voices in the body of Christ. Oh, nothing is coming. Nothing is coming. All is well. Nothing is coming. While God is also telling others that, warn my children, dangerous times are ahead. Perilous times that I said in the Bible are upon the church. Perilous times are upon the church. Unfortunately, people look on and they think, oh, well, I mean, fear mongers and scaremongers, nothing to take serious about these things. But it's a matter of choice. But the painful thing is when you don't follow what God is saying, and then now it begins to unfold. The temptation will be to blame God, and that is what the Bible talks about, that the love of many will grow cold and people will fall away. Because yes, they will blame God. People will curse God and insult God that, I mean, God is wicked, and why has God done this to his children? I mean, allowed his children to have difficult times, famine, pestilences are happening and all that, difficult moments, people losing their jobs. You see, had we followed what was in the Bible, we would not blame God, because we would have known and have prepared spiritually, psychologically, emotionally, towards the difficult days. But because you are told this thing, it shall pass, it shall pass. You move on, and then you get to the end at a point in time, and you realize, no, things are not as you thought. I'll be playing a foul today, and in the course of the program, and you know, it's just obvious. The things we are seeing, God has been warning people about it, and we are beginning to see some unfold in real time, as it were. But let me start with the news first. We have Tony Blair calls for new digital ID. You know, so people can prove their coronavirus disease status alongside test and trace programs as world eases out of lockdown. You have, you can create a digital ID today that is much more easily protected. So you can deal with a lot of the privacy and surveillance issues that worry people, he said on Tuesday. It's a natural evolution of the way that we are going to use technology in any event to transact daily life. And this COVID crisis gives an additional reason for doing that. I think people's disease status, have they been tested? What is the result of the test? Have they had the disease? Do they have the disease? Unless you are able to record some of this data in a way people can use, it is going to be difficult to go back to anything like a near normal in things like transport. If you are going to start international travel again, how can you do that unless people can be easily tested and have some record of that test? There has always been a good case for introducing some form of digital ID. Listen to him very well. There has always been a good case for introducing some form of digital ID, but I think that case is even more powerful today. Let me repeat for those who didn't grasp that statement well. There has always been a good case for introducing some form of digital ID, but I think that case is even more powerful today. This is Tony Blair speaking. You know, we've been warning about this for some years now. I mean, long. I mean, this program has been on for almost 10 years, and we've been talking about this digital chip way, all these years, and gradually we are getting to that point. You see, when Tony Blair talks, he's part of these globalists, the top, the globalists, I mean, these groups. And when we talk of the globalists, you know, these are people who shake the world and shape the world. You know, they form the Bilderbergs and the Council of Foreign Relations and Club of Rome. You know, these are all the forces that are coming together to form the New World Order. Then we have World Council of Churches wants EU sanctions on Israel if annexation goes ahead. Umbrella Christian Group urges bloc to end trade agreement with Jewish states if it ends sovereignty over parts of West Bank, and says the move cannot lead to justice or to peace. The World Council of Churches is asking the European diplomats to punish Israel with sanctions if it annexes West Bank lands. The request has triggered a heated debate in Christian circles. As for World Council of Churches, forget it. I mean, forget it. The things they've been saying and doing over the period of time, you know where they stand. And for them to oppose Israel alone even tells you where they belong to. Oh, yeah. I mean. Then, Indiana governor to churches. It says, worship as I say or be shut down. It's a fundamental aspect of constitutional law and historic American practice that no government may tell citizens how to worship. How one worships is a sacred duty that our laws and traditions have reserved entirely to the individual's conscience, completely outside of the bounds of government interference. But Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb, however, has decided that his natural rights secured in both the Indiana and the national constitutions is something he is allowed to waive. Yesterday afternoon, he demanded that churches perform services according to his edicts or be subject to government punishment. The governor is telling Christians how worship must be done with stricter rules than for all other public gatherings, even limiting church services to gatherings of 10 or fewer people. 10, they won't go ahead. I mean, 10, how many services will you run if you are a 500-member church? Oh, no. Indirectly, they just don't want the church to meet. That's all. I learned Nigeria too. They're giving them 1 hour, like, I mean, Ghana is also having. They just don't want the church to meet. It's just interesting. You know, what is happening is very, very subtle. If you are not careful and you don't look at it carefully, you may not see what is really happening behind the scenes. Yeah. Okay, we have widow remains faithful after being kicked out of several homes. Zainab, a blind widow, was kicked out of her in-law's home after refusing to give up her Christian faith, although her Muslim husband had allowed her to attend church, worship as she pleased, and raised their 6 children as Christians. When he died, his family tried to force Zainab to convert to Islam. Zainab has been kicked out of several homes since her husband's death because of her Christian faith. And this persecution report is saying that we should remember her in our prayers to get a stable place to reside with the family. Yeah. Then to India, we have Indian Christian teenager stabbed and stoned to death for his faith. Incited by Hindu extremists, followers of traditional tribal religion in eastern India, last week stabbed and stoned a 16-year-old Christian boy to death for his faith, according to sources. The mutilated body of Sambaru Madkami was found on Friday, buried in the jungle of Malkangri, about 6 kilometers from his village in Odisha state. The village animists had seized him on Thursday night after deciding to kill the male heads of the 3 Christian families in the village, according to sources. You know, things are happening. I mean, the persecution reports, when I read them every week, you know. You see, when you are in a place like Ghana, where by the grace of God, all seems calm and okay, it's so easy to think that is the standard or that is the status quo all over the place. But unfortunately, that's not the case at all. In Pakistan, we have Christian family shot by a radical mob for buying house in Muslim neighborhood. A Christian family in Pakistan was shot last week for buying a house in the Muslim neighborhood. On Sunday, police in the city of Peshawar in the Khyber province arrested the sons of a man accused of shooting 2 members of a Christian family after they purchased the home in late May in Sawati Fatak colony, according to Asia News reports. The alleged perpetrator, Salman Khan, is still at large. At least 81 killed in Boko Haram attack in Nigeria. Civilians shot and bodies ran over. Authorities in Bono State of Nigeria said Wednesday that at least 81 people were killed in an attack on a nomadic community believed to have been carried out by militants aligned to the Islamic extremist groups Boko Haram or Islamic State West Africa province. The Bono State government in northeast Nigeria released a statement on Wednesday explaining that residents described how militants in armored tanks and trucks attacked the Faduma Kolomdi community, the Gobio local government area, on Tuesday morning. Along with killing dozens in the community, it's believed that the militants also abducted 7 individuals, including the head of the village, and women and children. And sadly, I saw another news today where the Nigerian government is downplaying the reports that Christians are under attack and all that. Very, very pathetic. 2 Christian pastors attacked in northeast India amid COVID pandemic. According to the report, Tepan Oran was brutally attacked by his younger brother, an attack reportedly instigated by radical Hindu nationalists. On May 31st, another pastor was assaulted while distributing COVID-19 food relief. Then both incidents occurred in Jharkhand, a state located in northeastern India, where Christians have faced increased hostility during the COVID-19 pandemic. In 2005, Tepan and his family converted to Christianity. Since then, the family has faced ever-increasing levels of harassment and persecution from local radicals. In a recent interview with International Christian Concern, ICC, Tepan's son described the harassment against his family. "We are kept away from any social events in the village," Paramswa told ICC. "Numerous times we were threatened and told that we should recant our faith in Jesus. But thank God they didn't." Then we have this one, a culture of abortion. Abortions in England and Wales reached record high in 2019. England and Wales recorded 207,384 abortions for residents last year. 207,384 abortions. Hey, these are human beings, so day to their lives matter. But that one, nobody will talk about that. The highest ever number. Government statistics show the total number of abortions, including non-residents, was even higher, with 209,519 taking place in 2019, an increase of 3.4% from the previous year. The figures released by the Department of Health and Social Care also revealed that there were over 600 abortions of unborn children diagnosed with Down syndrome, and 17 where the baby had cleft lip or cleft palate. And you know, these statistics are really, really worrying and serious. If in 1 year 200,000 plus babies are aborted, it tells you something is not right somewhere. The bloodshed alone. And America is even worse. Same number, I mean, big numbers like that. You know, this generation is doing some of the most horrific and horrible things you can imagine. As for China, their numbers, you won't even get the numbers. But due to their policy and all that, so China is even, you can imagine their population, you know, they are a billion plus. So if per the government policy, where sometimes government even forces, they do the abortion by force without your approval and all these things are happening. And in go to India to, they do it selective based on gender. Sometimes, you know, some families don't want, I mean, a girl, because if you have a girl, you have to spend money in the marital rights. So they want only males in some families. So they will keep aborting till they get a male. You know, so the numbers of, I mean, these aborted cases worldwide is really, really staggering. And all these things, all this blood, are also crying out. If the blood of Abel cried out, then all these babies who were killed before their time are also crying out. So it's not far-fetched if God decides to start pushing these countries to face some things in the world, you know, because for how long things are happening. You know, look at the news in the U.S., we have states now, parts of Seattle where, I mean, they are calling it autonomous zone. So the police have been moved from that part of that present part of Seattle, and complete lawless situation there. I read the police chief talking about the fact that they get calls of rape and robberies and all, but they can't do anything about it. You know, these acts of lawlessness are just signs of the times, and the sad reality is going to increase and get worse, because there's a certain wind of lawlessness that is beginning to blow. The spirit of Antichrist is moving along lawlessness, because he's the lawless person. That's the whole, how the Bible is lawless. I mean, so these are signs, just like even it's coming to rain. Before it rains, you know, the wind starts to blow. You can just know that the rain is coming. And these are minor signs. We've not seen much yet. I mean, greater things are coming, and these things are going to increase. And it's important, as Christians, we change the way we pray these days. Our prayer should be for God to protect us, for God to guide us, for God to, you know, let me quickly read this one. This message that the Lord gave this lady, Glenda Lomax. Yeah. This was in 2018, December 14, Friday, December 14, 2018. And she repeated it again today. The headline, the title is Violence. She said, "My children, you must prepare your hearts for a change that is just ahead of you. An increase in violence in the earth is coming very soon, and its results will shock you. Many will become afraid as chaos enters into the minds of many wicked ones who disagree with a political situation. These wicked ones will be set on murder, and results will be very evil. They seek to eradicate. Pray for my protection," and that's pray for God's protection for yourself and your loved ones. And indeed, it's not far from the truth. That's what we are seeing in the U.S. and the way things are going, it's worrying. And because these are things which the Lord has given advance warnings about. And that's exactly what you are seeing. That's exactly what you are saying. So if you think things are going to improve, no, things are not going to improve. Things are going to get worse. Things are going to get worse. I'll be playing a file, and so that you get to see, or you hear, sorry, so one of the messages the Lord is giving to the church. It's important we take this thing serious, but I'll be back after this short break. One of my favorite songs, Only the Blood of Jesus. Indeed, if there was ever a time we needed the blood of Jesus, it is now. Well, I think the file is misbehaving a bit. I'll be back.
Okay, so when I go in there for judgment, I need how many points to get into heaven?
1,000.
Should be, no problem. I was a good husband, how many points do you think I'll get for that?
Oh, 2.
2? Well, how much for being a doctor? Now, I saved lives.
3 points.
That's it? What about the time I ran into that burning house to save a kitten?
That was good.
And?
2 points.
But I could have died.
2 points.
I banked a lot on that stupid cat.
I'm sorry.
So, to get into heaven, I need?
1,000 points.
And I have?
7. It's time for you to go in now.
No, wait a minute. I'm a pretty good fellow. If all I get is 7 points, how does anyone get into heaven?
They don't take the test.
What? Now, why not?
Because they know they don't meet God's standards.
Then how do they get into heaven?
They've asked Jesus to take the test for them. They get in on his score, not theirs.
Are you putting your faith in what you can do or accomplish? Or are you putting your faith in God? Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio, at lifelinepro.com.
At 3 a.m. in the morning, God spoke to me about a series of events, and I shared that with my wife, and I shared that with our small church that we have in Chennai, because I wanted them to pray. And I shared this in some online meetings that I had, but this unction would not go away from me. God wanted me to share this immediately, so I must humbly apologize that I delayed God's work. So I'm very sorry for that. But here I am. The words that were spoken to me on 23rd April, I'm laying it before you as I have received from the Lord. This is not to frighten you, but this is to prepare you so that you may know where you stand in these times and what you ought to do. Let me share the series of world events that will take place. Number one, traditional banking systems will change. Financial transaction systems will change. Flow of money will be controlled by the government. Even the money you have in the bank will be seized. Use of your property and assets will be controlled. Whatever you buy and sell will be strongly monitored. Even your bank balance. You can't even say that is mine, because that is going to change now. You won't even have money in your hands. So everything will be controlled. Number two, economy of many nations will collapse. The economy will be in shatters. In fact, it will be such a tragedy that they will not know how to get up from it. Many nations will give up their economic reforms. So there will be much economic turmoil in these nations. They will be burdened by the loans that they will take. And the loan will be shared among all the citizens. So nobody can come out of this economic crisis. Number three, robotics and artificial intelligence shall replace many job types. Many people are already thinking about that. For example, India. Due to the coronavirus epidemic, millions and millions of migrants have gone back to their homes. This has created huge manpower crisis in the industries. Now they will bring forth robots. They will bring forth machines with artificial intelligence. Man's work will be replaced because machines are not affected by virus. They will not be affected by pandemics. So that's why this system will take place now. Machines will be used as caretakers, housekeeping, laundry and cooking. So machines will take over now. Number four, famine shall overtake many countries. There will be massive waves of famine sweeping the nations. Food grains will be hoarded by rich nations and rich people. Massive food shortage is coming all over the world. The poor will not have much. So this will give rise to lawlessness. Number six, there will be civil unrest in many nations. As lawlessness increases, people will defy authorities. In fact, even within the nation, there will be civil wars. I see people rising against people. So there will be massive civil unrest. In one hand, the civil unrest is taking place. On the other hand, The police system will be sold out. The judicial system will be sold. So they will not look after the welfare. So everything will be sold out. The poor and the needy will be left to defend for themselves. They will have no one to cry out to. But God is going to hear their cries. And terrible judgment is coming upon nations because God will stand up for them. So there will be much judgment and hardship upon nations. Number 7, fire shall devour many countries in such a way that they will even give up hope of reviving those cities. Those towns and those places will be beyond repair. They will become ghost towns. People will flee. There will be no one to repair those cities. So these are the things that is going to take place. Number 8, pray for your children. The Spirit of the Lord told me, there will be much frustration and depression coming in the lives of young people because they will see their dreams broken. Their careers will be shattered because the academic courses and educational courses that they have taken, it will suddenly become irrelevant. When they will go for studies or they will reach final schooling years, they will be told, this course is no longer valid, so we don't have much need of these graduates. This will lead to frustration. Their lives will be shattered. This will lead to suicides. Rates of suicide will go higher. There will be much bitterness in life and they will become lawless. There will be rise in gang wars. So these are the things that will happen. And let me tell you once again, it's my humble request. Please, please pray for the children all over the world. Even from those who are in school level to university level, please pray for them because they will be going through very hard times. Tell them your stories of God's faithfulness. Collect testimonies of God's faithfulness in your life. Tell them about the reality of Jesus. Jesus is not about a person who is closed in books. Make Jesus real to them. Share your encounters with the Lord so they will become stronger. And there's a shift coming in the body of Christ. We are coming to the close of a church age. We are entering the kingdom age. Let me tell you one thing. Local church is just a small part of God's kingdom. There are angels in God's kingdom. There are living creatures, redeemed saints, first fruits of redemption. There are so many supernatural elements in this kingdom of God. So at the close of the church age, the church will begin to work together with this supernatural God's army. Number 1, the church will now come in sync with the kingdom of God and prepare her people for the coming of the Lord. God is raising up many forerunners, just like Jesus sent John the Baptist. In the same way, before the second coming of the Lord, there will be many John the Baptist who will be forerunners, and they will be the forerunners of the kingdom. Number 2, many large traditional mega churches will break up. Smaller, powerful home churches will be created. These small churches will be on fire for God. Mega churches will not be able to sustain these times. So home churches will rise up. But these home underground churches will be very powerful. They will be on fire for God. Number 3, God will change the definition of the traditional type of unity. What we have witnessed so far is a man-made unity, depending on man's needs, made by man's thoughts to help men. So it's just more of like a social gathering. But a very powerful unity initiated by the Holy Spirit is coming over the land. So Holy Spirit will be the director of this unity movement. Man-made unity will give way to Holy Spirit unity. You may not even know the people who are in this group. There will be such a powerful spiritual connection. There will be fathers, there will be children, all coming together, all helping each other grow, intense in their first love, focused on God, and doing what God wants them to do, living and dying for Jesus until their last breath. Everyone will have that same heart and same unction. They will go forth together. They will be led by the chief shepherd of the soul. Number 4, this new move will suffer much persecution from traditional or mega churches. Many international denominations and mainline churches will align with World Council of Churches. This will make way for one world religion, and World Council of Churches will be a part of it. So when your leader says, we are affiliating to World Council of Churches, don't clap your hands. Don't applaud. Quietly come out from the church. Come out from Babylon. Don't mingle there. As Jesus told the blind man, after he healed him. Don't go back to that city. Don't go back. You need to come out. Don't fight. Don't argue. Just quietly come out. Number five. There shall be a remnant who will rise from this dust. They shall be like Abraham called from the land of Ur. Or they will be like Ruth called out from Moab. So they will be called out as remnants. So they'll be small, but they'll be powerful. Many will not like them. In fact, they will be hated. They will be persecuted, but they will be walking in glory. Number six, the contents of the messages preached from the pulpit will change. The topics will change. True servants of God will start preaching holiness. Not just mere holiness on man's standard, but a radical holiness and a radical obedience to the word of God. Those servants of God who are waiting on God these days, your message is going to change. God is going to fill you with the spirit of boldness. In fact, the boldness will be so strong. As you will be preaching God's word, you will be breaking your own chains. You will be breaking your own bondages. And you will see thousands of bondages being broken in the pews. A supernatural anointing to preach in boldness is coming forth. You will no longer compromise. This is for all true servants of God. A small number of them. But God is going to raise you up. Number seven, prophets shall be equipped to speak to this generation. A company of prophets is rising up. They will have strong foreheads. They will stand in this stubborn generation. So this is the stubborn generation, stiff-necked people. But God is going to send his prophets. Whether people want to listen or not, it doesn't matter. But they will be on fire for God. And they will bring a radical change in God's body. So these are the shift that is going to come to the body of Christ. My dear brothers and sisters, as I have given the word that God had given to me, I want you to pray for all this and get ready for what God is saying to these nations. Many of you will lose jobs, but if you walk in his ways, he will take care of your needs. Many of your educational system will come to a halt, but if you walk in the ways of the Lord, he will not bring you to shame. You will hear a voice that says behind you, "This is the way. Walk ye in it." This is the way. Walk in it. Even as the whole world is going through this crisis, the church needs to hurry up. Don't sit down. Stand up. Put on your belt. Carry your staff stick. Eat your food hurriedly. Gorge on the word of God. Study and meditate on the word of God like never before. Let your soul rest. Come to a place where God is calling you and walk in his ways. Because he is going forth. The Bible says, he leads his flock from the front. It's our job to follow him. If you are hearing the voice of the shepherd, it's time to rise up from your place and walk. God bless you till we meet again.
All right. Well, virtually we've been saying these things on this program for some time now. This is another confirmation of what is coming, and not even coming, it's already happening. I mean, if you've been following the news carefully, you realize that a lot is already happening. And you know, this is the reality. I cannot count the number of prophets or prophetess or Christians who are getting this number of messages. A lot of them. I mean, for the last few years, and it's unfolding exactly as it is. This morning I was chatting with my brother, the one I come after, and I was telling him that, you know, when I look at what is happening in the US, I'm not surprised, because I've read about it already before, years back, that this is going to happen, and it's happening exactly as the prophet said. You know, so when the prophets of God who say the mind of God, and it comes to pass exactly as it is, when they keep warning and we refuse to listen, we cannot blame God, because God is speaking his word as it is. So if we refuse to listen to him, what else should God do again? And that's exactly the case we find ourselves now, the church finds herself in now, herself now, because you see, I've been talking about this home church thing, that this is the way forward. This is where God is leading his church. I've been talking about the fact that the season has changed, and that's what he was talking about. The church age, as we know it, has ended, We are moving into the kingdom age towards the coming of Christ. But you see, to be able to decipher or to be able to discern that the season has changed, it takes the Spirit of God. So you can easily be operating in the old way, which, really speaking, will not be what God has approved. And you see, when things change and you refuse to change, eventually you get left behind in the old system, as it were. And we are in the times where it is dangerous to be out of God's will, because virtually then you're on your own. When you're on your own now, in these times we are in, it's a very dangerous place to be. If there was ever a time for a Christian to be in the will of God, these are the times to be in. If there was ever a time that we would desire to be in God's perfect will, it should be now, and now onwards. Because, see, when you find yourself at a very delicate position, or a very delicate time, it's very dangerous to make errors. Because in the times we are in now, and now onwards as it is, some errors can really be fatal and very, very dangerous. Because some errors you may not be able to recover. So it is very important that we really flow in the Holy Spirit's direction. And that's exactly what the man was talking about. And the Lord is warning, the Lord is giving messages to various people, various angles towards these things. And all that he said is clearly in the Bible as well. Because let me just read this portion quickly. Jesus talked about it. This is Matthew 24 verse 6. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation, the Greek, I think it's ethnos, which is like the word ethnic groups comes. So nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines. So you see, all the things he talked about, you find them in these verses we are describing here. For nation, so ethnic group against ethnic group, and Black Lives Matter, what all these things, this route and all, kingdom against kingdom, there shall be famines. And he talked about the famine thing. Last week, I had a dream about food shortage coming to Ghana. Last week. And pestilences. The pestilences we are seeing now, coronavirus, and we are not seeing the end of it. And earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended. See, the offense will come. And these are the things that will bring the offenses, the betrayal. People will feel that, why has this happened? Why these difficult times upon us? We were not told these things are coming. So why now? And, offenses will come. So Jesus says, then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. You see, all these things, Jesus talked about them. But now he is giving better clarification as to how it's going to happen in various warnings that we are hearing and seeing and reading. And, this week the Lord showed me something that the hatred, people hate one another. He was telling me that, see, the hatred will come from Christians who are biggest, the people who hate us most in these times ahead will be Christians who are falling away. Because they are disappointed in God, they are disappointed, they are angry, and they have left the faith, they have backslided. So you, who is still insisting that you want to stand as a Christian, then they will betray you, they will hate you. They will persecute you. So the people who persecute Christians the most will be former Christians. Because, and Yabeko go, then go over. If me, I've lost it, and you too, I'll make sure you also lose it. And so you can appreciate the anger that will be in those people, because they used to be Christians. Now they are not Christians. So they will hate you even more than the one who is an unbeliever. Like who was an unbeliever all through his life. Because the former Christian will have a higher hatred for the current Christians who insist they are going to endure to the end, as the Bible Jesus talked about. So clearly we are in interesting times, and that's what we are seeing unfolding. And that's why we should be very prayerful, and how we pray should change. After hearing things like this, then you should now pray based on these things. That God should guide you, He should lead you. You know, these are not the times to pray for, I mean, material things, as it were. You know, we are at the point where the basics, is the basics of life that we need. Food, shelter, clothing. Luxury, these are not the times for luxury. You know, so our prayer should be well structured and better placed spiritually. You know, not just canal prayers that, you know, Christians pray all the time. I mean, recently someone was joking that even now, people have stopped praying for visa, because the airport is closed. Visa, the pastors are not, the prophets are not promising visas again. Because now, you see, a time comes where now, you see, suddenly, even now, visa is not something people are demanding again. You see, in this world, things can change overnight. Now, suddenly, now there are some places where now, like, things are not as they were, and it's not going to be the same again. You know, if you listen to the fire, he talked about some cities will be burnt, fire, and eventually they will not rebuild those cities again. Now, if you watched the U.S., route in the last 2 weeks, how they were burning shops and burning things. No, this thing hasn't ended. It has subsided, but it will rekindle itself again. And, you know, it's going to happen. Indeed, places will be burned to the point where it will not make economic sense to even rebuild those buildings or those parts of the cities again. So we are seeing very terrible things unfolding. But for people who listen to this program, you shouldn't be surprised by what you are seeing in the news or hearing, because we've said some of these things way back when it sounded like these people are just some off guys. They don't know what they are talking about. By the grace of God, it's unfolding in our time, and we are seeing it happening. So if you are fortunate to be hearing these things, please don't trivialize it and take it as one of those things. These are not one of those things. These are real serious times we live in as Christians. And truth is bitter. Truth is sometimes hard to take. But truth is important and good for us if we willingly accept it and use it to apply. We apply it to our Christian lives, because the reality is that the word of God will not change. The word of God is true. The word of God has always been true. And today I was chatting with Brother Yao, and I was telling him that, now some verses which years back or times back you read, and the understanding wasn't well situated, because of what is happening now, the understanding is coming out even better, because the reality is now unfolding in a real time. You read it and then you are seeing it in a better way manifesting. And that shows how powerful the word of God is. No book, can predict spot on the things that we are seeing in the world now. No book can do that except the Bible, the word of God. And it shows the power in it. So why would we want to read the word of God and downplay its warnings and downplay its advice and downplay its messages? Because if we really take it seriously that these are the words of God and this is life that we are reading, then it will apply. It will really have an impact, a direct impact in our lives. And I believe these are the times we should be we should make time for the word of God. Have far more interest in the word of God than ever before. You know, these are not the days to just be reading one verse, two verses, three verses for the whole morning, and then you are done. We quickly rush to do our quiet time, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and then we are rushing off. You know, we pray 2-3 minutes, we are off. You know, these are times to really make time for God and really make time to grow spiritually. This is the time to really grow as a Christian. These are not the times to... You should not be comfortable if your Christianity is low, you're a wishy-washy Christian, if you're a baby Christian, you should quickly and rapidly desire to grow in the Lord. Because your growth will really determine how far you can go in the Lord. And for the times we are in, the best the best teacher you can have is the Holy Spirit himself. The best teacher, the Holy Spirit. Let him teach you his word. Take the Bible, pray to him that he should teach you. You want to understand. He should teach you his word. And I can tell you, he would teach you his word. Most times the problem we have with the word of God is we have our preconceived ideas and preconceived ideologies and doctrines that we've been taught. So even when we read something and it's contrary to what the Holy Spirit is saying, we insist this is what we know. So we won't amend our ways. But for how long? The Holy Spirit will not force you to accept something. No. It's take it or leave it. If you will not take what he is saying, it's up to you. But we have to humble ourselves and allow him to teach us. And I believe that's the best way to experience the new wave of the Spirit that is moving. And, you know, it's optional. When the Holy Spirit is moving, you can either choose to be part of his new move or you'll be left out. But if there's an advice I'll give, it will be that you should not miss out in this final revival, final wave of the Holy Spirit that is moving. All right, I'll be back after this song. Second song.
That cost a life, that paid my way. Death, its price. When it flowed down from the cross, my sins were gone, my sins forgot. There is a grave that tried to hide this precious blood that gave me life. But in 3 days, he breathed again and rose to stand. Let his
There is a grave, and it tries to hide this precious blood that gave me life. But in 3 days, he breathed and rose to stand, oh, in my defense. For I come, shall you live? He's alive, shall you let me know? For the trying and the
Okay, so when I go in there for judgment, I need how many points to get into heaven?
1,000.
Should be, no problem. I was a good husband, how many points do you think I'll get for that?
Oh, 2.
2? Well, how much for being a doctor now? I saved lives.
3 points.
That's it? What about the time I ran into that burning house to save a kitten?
That was good.
And?
2 points.
But I could have died.
2 points.
I banked a lot on that stupid cat.
I'm sorry.
So, to get into heaven, I need...
1,000 points.
And I have...
7. It's time for you to go in now.
No, wait a minute. I'm a pretty good fellow. If all I get is 7 points, how does anyone get into heaven?
They don't take the test.
What? Now, why not?
Because they know they don't meet God's standards.
Then how do they get into heaven?
They've asked Jesus to take the test for them. They get in on his score, not theirs.
Are you putting your faith in what you can do or accomplish? Or are you putting your faith in God? Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio, at lifelinepro.com.
Well, he noticed that he has done a useless job. 2 points. Okay, you know, there's a blood that cost a life, that paid my way. Death is price. When it flowed down from the cross, my sins were gone, my sins forgotten. There is a grave that tried to hide this precious blood that gave me life. In 3 days, he breathed again and rose to stand in my defense. So I come to tell you he's alive, to tell you that he dries every tear that falls. So I come to tell you that he saves, to shout and to proclaim that he is coming back for you. This life, this price, this blood, this one. There is a blood that sights the blind, that heals the sick, the lonely finds, and it has the power to free the bound as chains they fall upon the ground. So pour it out and cleanse my soul, and let its liquid glory flow, because it lives to make me whole. I owe my life, I owe my soul. So I come to tell you he's alive, to tell you that he dries every tear that falls. So I come to tell you that he saves, to shout and to proclaim that he is coming back for you. This life, this price, this blood, this one. What can wash away my sin? Nothing. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You know, this is one beautiful song. I can listen to it so many times. Maybe those who would want it can just look for it. It's sung by the last Baptist Church. The title is This Blood. You can get it on YouTube. This Blood. It's a very powerful song indeed. All right, so I think Brother Yah will be getting in touch with us soon via phone to also share something that the Lord has given him. You know, it relates to the things we're talking about even in the course of the program, you know. And, you know, these are the times where, as I said, we need to get right with God. We need to live right with God. And because the truth is, things are changing very, very fast. Very fast, you know. Things are moving extremely fast. This week, someone was telling me of, I was told of a pastor who said, had it not been that he was a, or he's a theologian, he would have said that the tribulation has started. You know, so it, when he looks at what is happening, in his mind, he sees that actually, Bible is unfolding, but you know, because he's a theologian, so he's refusing to say that things have started. Well, only time will tell, and the reality will set in, as it, I say sometimes. So, okay, so I believe I will be calling and joining us soon. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, so wait. Oh, I think it's lying.
Hello, this is Heaven. May I help you?
Yeah, I think I found a flaw in your manual.
You mean the Bible?
Yes. You know that section that says, "So in everything, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you"?
Matthew chapter 7, verse 12?
Sure. Now, when you say everything, does that mean everything, or are there exceptions?
What is it about the word everything that you don't understand, sir?
Well, I have this really obnoxious brother-in-law, and I would love to...
Hello, yeah.
Hello, brother.
Evening.
Evening.
Yeah, Charlie. I hope all is well.
By the grace of Christ Jesus, we're doing well. What of you too, sir?
Okay, we thank God. So, the video I played, you've listened to it already as well?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, so what are your initial comments before you proceed?
Mm-hmm. You know, I give glory to Jesus. This particular man, I have never known him or even heard about him until today. Mm-hmm. It was Esther Safori who sent this particular message to me.
Yeah.
And you know, God is confirming his messages left, right, center.
Exactly.
God is confirming his messages, as you said earlier. Now God is speaking to a lot and a lot of people, dreams and visions.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, just on the 11th of June, about 3 days ago, that was Thursday, I sent a message. The Lord gave me a message. I recorded to my effect.
Yeah.
So, for those who listen to you very well, they are in my groups, they have received this message already. So, when the pastor sent me and I downloaded, I listened, I said, wow. Not knowing God gave me to this man even earlier, mm-hmm. on the 20th of April. So God is just confirming his word, and everything has been written. As you said, anybody who will want to fight in the will of God, God will clear your way.
Oh, yeah.
You become an enemy of God. That is it. So it's about time we allow the Holy Spirit to work. Is it 3 days ago, a woman called me from Georgia, sent me a message from Georgia. That woman as well, I've never seen her, but once in a while she gave me a message. She gave me a message and said, the Lord said, normal worships in churches have ended. But now we've gotten to John chapter 4, from 20 to verse 23, mm-hmm. whereby the Lord told the woman that it is not in Samaria or in Jerusalem we worship.
Yeah.
Though thou worship the Lord now must worship the Lord in spirit mm-hmm. and in truth.
Yeah.
This was 3 days ago. A lady by the name Florence in Georgia mm-hmm. brought this message. So if you look at all these things, God is talking. We're pleading with the church, our men of God, our women of God, that they should wake up. If they do not wake up, God will clear them away. They become enemies of God. Many of them have worked hard and very well for the kingdom of God. Whatever is happening now, they should get to know it is the hand of God. When the change of God comes, no, you know, you need to stand it.
Yeah.
Brother, so that is the initial comment. And
yeah.
I believe. Mm-hmm. But, okay. Let me just... continue.
Okay.
Now, we greet everybody as I speak. I'm in Dakwa by the grace of a brother who came to do some bad things in Dakwa. And brother, you are laughing at me. Mm. You know, Christianity. Mm-hmm. My dear brethren and sisters, Christianity, let us never give up. If you look at the character of other people, if you don't take time, you may not want to even do good again.
Yeah.
A brother of ours got an opportunity to Dakwa and he has come to cause greatness. When he came, he started very low. But 1 year down the lane, then change began. And it has caused much problem. But we're not going to stop. That is part of the tribulation and persecutions Jesus Christ went through. So we should be able to stand till the end.
Yeah.
Once you've made up your mind and going to heaven, do not let anything mm-hmm. come across. We thank Jesus Christ that everywhere we speak, Jesus Christ has said we're going to be dead, according to Matthew chapter 12, 36, 37. Revelation 22, 18 says, if you add to the word of God, you will end in the lake of fire. 19 says, if you subtract from the word of God, you will end in the lake of fire. So either we add or we subtract, we will end in the lake of fire. Once we are told, every liar will end in the lake of fire, according to Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. Many quotes Bible that we misinterpret it, we should be very much careful. Because in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, we are told that we should rightly divide the word of truth. Paul has said in Galatians 1, 8 and 9, he said, if me, Paul, or even an angel, bring any other gospel which you have not received, he said, let the person be accursed. So anything we preach, which is contrary to the word of God, is an accursed gospel. That is why in 2 John 1, verse 9, he says, whosoever, listen, whosoever, pastor, bishop, prophet, founder, elder, evangelist, captive, whosoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ doesn't have God. The doctrine of Christ is the word of God. So if me and you, we are teaching anything contrary to the word of God, my friend, we're going to end in the lake of fire. In Jude 1, verse 3, we are told to endlessly contend for the faith. To endlessly contend for the faith. Now when we come to Acts chapter 17, verse 11, the Berean Christians were commended for one thing they did. They listened to the word of God very well, and after they did not just go to sleep, they went to cross-check what Apostle Paul preached. And Apostle Paul commended them. But now, when women of God, they speak churches, they speak, and we are cross-checking doctrine that is given us with the word of God, they get an end. Why must you be annoyed? If you know what you are saying is true. Now, today, the message I'm bringing, you'll get to know, I've recorded it, I've given to a lot of people, that is just what this man God gave me. The Lord told me I should tell everybody that we should be ready, heavenly-minded Christian. Please listen. There are some people, they just go to church. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about those who want to go to heaven. If you truly want to go to heaven, then Jesus Christ said, I should tell you that be ready to lose all your earthly properties or your salvation. Let me take it again. I know you wouldn't like this topic. Be ready to lose all your earthly properties or your salvation. So in the near future, we are going to choose between our earthly properties and our salvation. If you claim you are a child of God, be ready. Nothing can stop it. It is going to come. Now, let's go and see. First of all, do you love the word of God? If you are not somebody like David, as David said in Psalm 119, let's look at the Psalm. Psalm 119, let's look at verse 73. Psalm 119, verse 72. David says something, and that is why he was able to stand for the Lord for the end. Let me see. Psalm 119, verse 72. Then we'll go to verse 127. Verse 72 says, you see, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. This is what David was able to see. But can you be able to see that? Some of us, we not even check doctrine, which is contrary to the Bible, more than the word of God. But for David, he said the law of God, the word of God, the commandments, the scriptures, he loved them more than thousands of gold and silver. How many properties do you have? Is it more than 1,000 gold and silver? But David said if they put 1,000 gold and silver there, he would choose the law of God. What of you and me? Let's look at verse 127. It says Psalm 119, verse 127. Psalm 119, verse 127. Therefore I love thy commandment above gold, yea, above fine gold. Can you see this? If you are not ready and you cannot say this and you don't want to learn that you will practice this, then forget about heaven. Because you will get a reason, very tangible reason, reasons that you think that it endorses you living Christ. You are going to get reasons, very genuine reasons. Everything will prove that you have to leave Christ. But if truly you love the Lord, then you're going to continue to stay. Brethren, I've been saying something. It was true, brethren. I heard it and I checked this picture. This is the time we need the children of Issachar. This is the time. Let's look at 1 Corinthians. Is it 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Let's look at verse 32. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verses 32. It says, and the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. They were children of understanding, and they knew what Israel ought to do. If the church, you, me, us, if we don't get understanding now, we will never know what to do. As I said, we are about to lose every property. And this is what I'm saying. I'm not sure it will take 2 years to get there. It will not take more than 2-3 years to get to that place. Immediately the compulsory vaccines begin. You are about to lose your properties. Every property you have as a child of God. So by the time we go through this, you will get to know that if you have any earthly properties now, and you know definitely you want to go to heaven and you are about to lose them, what do you do? You can dispose them now and use it for the work of God. This is the era we're getting in. If not, and you depend on your properties, I tell you, because of your properties, you're going to take the mark of the beast. Because of your properties, you're going to take the mark of the beast. So as children of God, we should know the times and know what we should do. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4 to 6. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4 up to verse 6. It says, and I'll read. It says, but ye brethren are not in darkness. Children of God, we are not in darkness. He says that the day shall overtake you as a thief. That day he's talking about here is the coming of Christ. That is number one. Don't let the coming of Christ overtake you as a thief. But apart from the coming of Christ, the great tribulation, with we losing every property we have, if you allow that day, it will also take you as a surprise. It will take you as a surprise. My dear child of God, this sometimes God gives me a message and I'll be asking God, what are people going to see? Because you see the message to be hard. But this is the message that God also we should give. You see, we are all the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not, you see, in the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch us be sober. Church, this is the time to watch. Watching means obeying the word of God, reading the word of God, checking left to right center to ensure, as Brethren said, you don't have to make mistakes as at this time. This is not the time for us to make errors. This is not the time. So we need to correct things now. Let's go to Luke. I said, be ready. If you claim you're a child of God, be ready to lose every earthly property. If not, you take the mark of the beast. Immediately the compulsory vaccines begin. You lose every property you have. Mark it on the wall. Let's look at it. Look, Jesus Christ also told us this. Luke chapter 14. Let's look at verse 33. Luke 14, verse 33. Let's read the word of God. You see, so likewise, whosoever he be of you, that forsake not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. Now, this verse is becoming very real and more understanding to me. I have read it, I've used it to preach, but when God gave me this message, I got to see that, this is what he meant. He says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you, Christians, that forsake not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. Because the time is coming, they will tell you to choose between your properties and Christ. They will tell you, we've taken the properties from you. If you don't want us to take it, then take the person, take the map of the beast, take the chip, take the digital ID. This is what they will tell you. My dear. And the church, men of God, listen. Men of God, God is giving us a sign that you are not seeing. The nomads, no entry sign they have brought, and the so-called protocols they have brought, those are the signs God is giving us. Can you imagine this? Please listen to this. We built our church with our monies. We suffered tithes and offering. And now government is telling us, go inside 1 hour. And you think that nothing is ahead of us? This is it. God is telling you they are taking over already. So for you, the men and the women of God and the churches who want to operate normally, as you used to do, I tell you, you take the mark of the beast. Already they are taking over the churches, which we bought, we built, we suffered to build them. Now they are telling you, spend 1 hour. In the near future, it will be no mark, no entry. No mark of the beast, no entry. No vaccine, no entry. They are taking over already. This, it has started with the church. And the same way it has started with the church, it will come to individual properties. So why must you allow your properties to be there for people to come and just take it? Dispose of the rest. Find some small place you can sleep with your wife, with your children, some small place, and the rest. Dispose of it. Get money. Invest it into the kingdom of God. That is why Jesus says, invest into the kingdom of God, not on earth. That those verses are now becoming very real to me. I used to read them, I did not understand them well. I understood at my level, but now it's becoming very real. When Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, let's read it. Matthew chapter 6. Let's just read it. Matthew chapter 6. Let's start from verse 19. This is Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. And I read, he said, look not for yourself treasures on earth, where moth nor rust do corrupt, where thieves break through to steal. And now we are breaking into our churches. Your own church they are taking over, is there not stealing? And it is the same way they've taken over the churches, they will come and take over our personal houses. We will get, they will take, lay your treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through to steal. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Majority of us, the reason why we are afraid even death is coming, we are afraid is that we know we have nothing in heaven. But if truly we have sacrificed our whole life, our properties and all our things into the kingdom of God, when somebody is killing you, you are happy. Do you know why? You know that you are going home. It's like somebody staying overseas and coming from, like, comes from Kumasi and now is in the U.S. and have invested a lot into buildings here in Kumasi. If such a person is being repatriated back to Ghana, would the person be annoying? No. The person wouldn't be annoying because the person knows that all his properties are there. Majority of us, because we have our, and those properties will let you take the mark of the beast. Yes. Rich men, rich women. This message is a hard message, but we'll read it as it is. We'll give it as it is. As I said, we recorded this and sent it on the 11th of June, about three days ago. Then just this morning, this audio that, this video that Brother Abel played, the Lord made the Apostle giving it to me. I say, wow. And we are not the two people. There are a lot of people getting same messages. What are you waiting for? The church age has ended. The form of church, whether you sit a man of God, woman of God, you have 100 congregations, 1,000 congregations, before you church practice, it has passed. Until you go to the Lord to take the next strategy. There is a new strategy now. Now you don't, churches that you've gone to sit in, you know what is happening. You don't even know. Now the strategy to be preaching is information centers, radio stations, using a megaphone, dumb broadcasting, evening broadcasting, going to the market. This is now the new. We will use that one to some time. Then they will start curtailing that, and the Lord will give us another strategy for the new season. So every season comes with its own thing. The Lord is calling you and me. Now let's go to Mark. Mark chapter 10. We're going to use from verse 17 to 28. Those are the verses the Lord said, I should use to tell me and you, we should be ready to lose every property. Mark chapter 10. Let's start from verse 17. We read it. He said, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came unto him running and kneeling to him and asking, good master, what good thing? He said, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Verse 18, and Jesus said unto him, why callest me thou good? There is none good but one, that is God. Let me explain something here. This is one verse people have been misinterpreting, saying that when Jesus was called good master, Jesus said he is not good master. It's a lie. Did Jesus say he is not good master? The person called Jesus good master, listen to what Jesus said. And Jesus said unto him, why callest me thou good? He just asked him a question, and that was a rhetorical question. He didn't allow the person to answer. Then he goes further to say, there is none good but one, that is God. So all Jesus was telling him is that if you are calling me good master, then you are saying I am God. This is simple, but certainly this is the same scripture they said to say, Jesus said he was not good master. Jesus didn't say that. Don't lie upon Jesus. Let's continue verse 19. Thou knowest the commandment. This man went to Jesus and said, Jesus, what can I do to get eternal life? He said, you know the commandment. He said, do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. He said, do not defraud. Honor thy father and thy mother. Listen to what the man said. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these things have I observed from my youth. So this was not just a mere church goer, an obedient child of God. This man was bold enough to stand before Jesus Christ, who sees every quest, to tell Jesus Christ that me, I have obeyed all the commandments. If truly they are not obeyed, Jesus will have believed me. But listen to what Jesus said in verse 21. Then Jesus beholding him, loved him, and said, one thing lacketh thou. Heaven is not a joke, my dear man of God, man of God. A man who has obeyed all the 10 commandments. He has been able to tell Jesus, I've obeyed all. And Jesus has endorsed it. But still Jesus is saying he lacks one thing. And we think we can say in church to commit fornication, adultery, sin left, right, center, and we claim we are in heaven. Which heaven is that? Which heaven is that? He has obeyed all the commandments. 10 commandments. And after obeying all of them, Jesus said it was not a one thing. And he said, Jesus loved you. My dear brother, my dear sister, man of God, woman of God, the reason why we are telling all of us today that we should be ready to lose all our earthly properties is that Jesus loves us. Jesus loved the man, that is why he told him. And we love you, that's why we are telling you. And we know when this will be telling you, many will be annoyed. That is our bad case. Who will be the truth? As it is. He said, then Jesus looked. He said, he went off the commandments. When you read Luke chapter 1, verse 6, Luke chapter 1, verse 6, he said, both of them, they were righteous before God, walking in the ordinances of God, blameless and faultless. Zechariah and Elizabeth. They obeyed off the laws of God, off the commandments of God. What of you? What of me? This is what the word of God says. They obeyed off the commandments of God. Now let us continue. He said, one thing lacketh thou. Go thy way. Sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up your cross and follow me. Somebody who have obeyed all the 10 commandments is like somebody who is in holiness as a now. Who is in the holiness church, they preach holiness inside out. This message was to one of them. And it is to you, it is to me. Jesus says, so it is not to one thing. And he told me, my dear, some people say, oh, I've done all, but it's just left to one thing. I've done all. Why didn't Jesus consider him? Jesus is not going to consider him. Jesus now told him, go and sell all thou hast. Everything you have. Go and sell it. And give it to the poor. Then you will have treasures in heaven. So you see, in Matthew chapter 6, 19 to 21, Jesus told us to invest in heaven. But in Matthew chapter 19, verse 21, he now comes to tell us how we can get those treasures in heaven. And he says to sell all our properties, give it to the poor, That is the condition. That is the condition. Can you? When we talk about the poor, we have two categories of poor. First of all, the less privileged. Widows, orphans, grown-ups, elderly, yes. People who physically do not have anything. They are the poor. And we have spiritual poverty, those who don't know Christ. So go and sell and give to the poor. It means two things. First, supporting the less people, less privileged people in society. Secondly, supporting people's salvation by supporting gospel, crusade, evangelism, and evangelism. This is the two things that can give you inheritance in heaven. Are you ready to do that? Jesus is telling me and you this way. Because I'm telling you, immediately the compulsory verses come. Your businesses are going to close. Your shops will be closed. If you say you won't take the vaccine, you won't take the chip, you cannot operate again. You cannot operate. Now, the other time I was working at the Central Police Station, where Central Police Station Kumasi, and I saw they have put in almost all the doors, no mask, no entry. Then the Lord prompted me and said, yeah, a time is coming. It will be no mask, no entry. No mask, that's mark of the beast. So he said, because you people will not take the mask, during that time, you may be sitting in your car. Somebody will come and slap you big time, take you out, and take the car away. You cannot go to police station and report. You will be in your house. They will come and molest you, your shop. They will come and molest you. No, you cannot go to police station because no mask, no entry. You cannot enter them. We are going to be treated like animals. It is coming. This is what is ahead of us. So if you are still holding on to your properties, it is those properties that will let you take the mark of the beast. Assuming today being Saturday like this, this evening announcement is made that we have changed the securities at all the banks. So God willing, Monday, all of you should come to the bank and come and take your new ATM and your new Visa card. But before you can enter the bank, you have to take the vaccine and the chip. If not, you cannot enter. And you have $3 million in that bank account. What do you think you're going to do? And that is what is going to happen. You saw that in the video, in the audio that Abraham played. The man said, our monies are going to be seized. Yes, it is correct. I said, I did not hear his message. I did my message. The Lord gave me the message on the 11th. I recorded it and shared it. Both to see and even shared it out. And it was just 13, that is today. And I got this message confirming that the Lord has already even given it to that man. So you see that the man apologized that he has delayed in bringing out the message. My dear, our monies in the bank are going to be closed. Your businesses are going to be closed. No person, no way. No mask, no way. And you think you can operate your business? No. You'll be treated like a criminal. You are sitting in the car, you are not taking the mask. Police stop you and they arrest you. When they take you to police station, something is going to happen to the car. And you are not going to take the mask. So by all means, you go, you are not coming back again. What do you think is going to happen to the car? What do you think is going to happen to your mansions, your buildings? What do you think is going to happen to the business? If you tell me that you will never take the mark of the beast, then I am telling you this truth, that start disposing of your properties. Leave some small one you will stay in. Get the money and use the money to invest in the kingdom of God. If not, you will lose outright. You are going to lose it. There is nothing you can do to stop it. There is nothing I can do to stop it. That's what the Lord has said. He said, go and sell all that has. Give it to the poor. And come and follow me. When you go to Matthew, the same thing is there. Matthew chapter 19 verse 21. Let's look at it. Matthew chapter 19. Let's look at verse 21. The same message was captured there. Matthew 19. Verse 21. Listen to Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus said unto him, if thou will be perfect, go and sell all thou hast and give to the poor. Thou shalt have treasures in heaven and come and follow me. This is a condition Jesus gave. To get the kingdom of God, you must sell everything you have. Because the world will not allow you to have it. We are getting close. It is very close. I tell you this, that it will not take 2 to 3 years. immediately you hear that the compulsory version is about to start. That is our end of holy properties. In me, I have properties. I wouldn't wait to get them because now I know it. I found some small place to stay with me, my wife and my people. Then the rest I sell, I get money. Then I ask the Lord, Lord, what should I do with your money? Then the Lord will say, do A, do B, do C. If not, and you keep it there, you are going to lose it. That is where the Issachar children come. You must know what to do. You don't have to wait for it to take you by surprise. Once you can use the same properties to ensure you get a lot of rewards in heaven. Why do you live it here? So this is the time. There is nothing you can do about it. Jesus gave the parable to that effect. Going to heaven, my dear brother, my dear sister, is not easy. Let's look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Matthew chapter 13, let's start from 44 down. He said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto the treasure hid in the field. Which the man, he said, which a man has found, he hideth it for the joy thereof. Go and sell it all that he has and buy the fruit. He went to sell every property he had just to come and buy the kingdom of God. As Jesus told the man. Let us continue in verse 45 and 46. That's Matthew chapter 13. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking godly pearls, who, when he has found one pearl of great price, like heaven, and sold all that he had and bought it. And yet, these are the very words of Jesus, who he spoke parables to us, but now the parables are becoming very real. That we are about to lose everything. Or if we are about to lose it, then we don't have to just lose it like that. We can use it to invest in the kingdom of God by selling them, now asking God what he wants you to do with the money. This is what God is saying. And you see, when Jesus was here, when immediately Jesus left, Jesus wants us in this end time realm. You see, the man was talking about the unity that was in the church at the beginning. That is what Jesus wants us to go back to. Because truly, you love Jesus, and you sell your property. People sold their properties earlier. Let's look at it. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Let's look at verse 45. Acts chapter 2. From 44 to 45. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. This is the kind of love the man was talking, that God is bringing that love. Not artificial law. They brought it and so nobody lacked. But now one man, two men, three men, one woman, two women, three women. Yeah, but the house are full. And entire church members, they are hungry. I say your money in the bank, your businesses and your mansions, if you don't take time, they are those. That is going to let you and me take the mark of the beast. But for me, it will not catch me. The same thing happened in Acts. Chapter 4, verse 34. They sold their properties. And Jesus Christ warned us in 1 John chapter 2. Let's read it. 1 John chapter 2. I said now some verses are becoming very, very bad. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. 1 John 2, 15. Let's read. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world and the lack thereof, the lack of the eye, the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passes away, and the lack thereof. Every last me and you we had for anything that was making me a new purpose, we are about to lose it. If truly you want to go to heaven, because you have to choose between your properties and your salvation. This is the era we are getting into. Now let's go back to the Mark again, like Mark chapter 10. Let's go back to Mark chapter 10 and let us continue there. Mark chapter 10. Let us continue there. Verse 22. He said, and he was sad. After Jesus told the rich man, the man, go and sell everything you have. Give it to the poor and come and follow me. He said, and he was sad at the same and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. My mother who have great possessions. My father who have great possessions. Let me tell you this. Majority of us are going to behave like this man. This man was closer to heaven. He had the creator of heaven and earth telling him the last thing he needs to do to go to heaven. But because of the love for his properties, because he went away sad. He was very much sad. Riches will truly, now listen, let's continue from verse 23. And Jesus looked around about, he said, round about, and said unto his disciples, how have you, shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? My mother who have riches, my father who have riches, if truly you were to use the riches for what God gave you for, you wouldn't be a rich man. Let us take our way for this man, Zacchaeus. Coming to Jesus, he said, half of my property I give to the poor. And anybody I've defrauded, I repay it four times. After doing that, how much money will Zacchaeus have? Let me ask you, how much money will Zacchaeus have? A rich man like Zacchaeus came to Christ, gave half to the poor, and decided I'm going to do restitution four times any amount I've defrauded. By the time he finished with that, will he be a rich man again? No. The reason why majority of us are rich men, we are not using the money for what God gave us for. God wanted us to feed the poor, the orphanage, the less privileged, to support the kingdom of God business. But we have hoarded the money, that's why you are called rich men. Because if truly the people who have need, who God has brought to you, you were feeding them as you're supposed to be, you cannot be rich. You will also not be poor. You will be getting more and more money every day. But more and more, the money also will be going into the work of God. That is what God is saying. Now let us continue. He says, how hard, he said, children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. Listen to 25. That is when I got to know that no rich man can go to heaven. Because when you keep the money, continue to be a rich man, you cannot go. He says, for it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Let me ask you, can a camel ever enter into the eye of a needle? Impossible. So if he's saying this camel entering into the eye of a needle, which is impossible, is easier than a rich man going to heaven, what is Jesus saying? It is impossible. Until you sell it, you give it to the poor, and you get investment in the kingdom of God, forget about it. Listen to verse 25. And they were astonished. Out of the measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? You know why they said that? This man has obeyed all the Ten Commandments. We thought everything was okay. But now this is showing, they are listening to what Jesus Christ said. He said, and Jesus looking upon them, said unto them, it is impossible with men, but with God all things are possible. Do you know why with God all things are possible? God was Jesus who directed him and showed him what to do. If truly you and me, we will obey Jesus as according to his word, it is possible. But if we decide to go contrary to the word of Jesus, it will be impossible. When you read 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9, let's look at it. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. Riches. So I get surprised people are running after riches left, right, center. Riches which increase people from heaven. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. He said, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts. Quick draw men to destruction and perdition. Riches. It draws men to destruction and perdition. Is it not proud that this my brother came and he saw some small money now? He has caught so much here, he has left. Small riches he saw. Riches pushes men into perdition. This is what Jesus is saying. Now, he said, with God, all things are possible. Now, listen to the verse 29, called the disciples. Let me tell you, the man said something about students. I told somebody that schools are not going back again. If you're going back, then you're going to take the mark of the beast. So now, forget about education. Put that into your head, that education is going to be useless. And I thank God the man said it. Your education, those who are operating schools, you claim you're a Christian operating school. And now they tell you, let the children take vaccine, yourself take it before you open the school. What are you going to do? I told a woman in Accra who is operating a school, a private school. I told her, Mommy, your business is about closing. She was on the phone. I said, yes, this is the bitter truth. Your school has ended. Get to know that this is the time. Then now prepare. There is nothing we can do about it. There is nothing we can do about it. This is the time. Everything we held on to, we are about to lose it. So why don't we use it for something profitable? Now, he say in verse 28, he said, then Peter began to say unto him, no, we have left all things and followed thee. Have you seen? We have left all things and followed him. He has left all things. That same message is in Matthew chapter 19:27. Matthew 19:27. The same message is in Luke 18:28. Luke 18:28. Then the same message is in Matthew 4:18-22. Matthew 4:18-22. And Paul came in Philippians 3:8. And he said, everything that I have counted in loss. I have counted it like dung for me to know Jesus. Paul was a lawyer. He had property. In the Jews' law, he was supreme. But he had to lose all those things. Paul, who persecuted people from Titus, now was being persecuted from town to town. He lost everything just to know Christ. Let me ask you. I said, even mobile phone, we cannot use it. You don't have the mark of the beast. They are about to arrest you. You've gone into the bushes. Why are you going to get electricity to start your phone? Death is coming. We are not scaring anybody, but we tell us to be prepared to know that death is what is ahead of us. It is ahead of you. It is ahead of me. This is what Jesus is saying. It is ahead of you, and it is ahead of me. What are you going to do? He said, now listen. He said, and Jesus answered, verily, there is no man that has left houses and brethren and of sisters and of fathers and of mother and of wife and of children and of lands for my sake of the for my sake and the gospel, but he shall receive 100-fold now in the time in houses, in brethren, in sisters, in mothers, in children, and in lands and in persecution and in the world to come. Listen to this. This is not earthly. Though he said in this life it is not earthly. Let me ask you, what did Peter get before dying? What did Paul get actually before dying? John the Baptist, what did he get? All the disciples, what did they get? Look at the early apostles, the earlier Christians. They wandered and they died in poverty. So this thing the Lord mentioned, it was not here. But once you are here already, he makes you to see it in heaven. So you are happy already. You have the mood here that I have this thing already. So it is not this earth. My mother, my father, I wouldn't want to scare us, but I tell you this. Every property you have, I have. Immediately, the compulsory vaccination begins. You are going to lose all. Because you will say you will not take it. You will not take the vaccination with the mark of the beast. Man of God, listen to this. If you still want to hold on to your church, the buildings we have built, the auditorium, the cathedral, the basilica, the synagogue we have built, if that is what you are thinking of, I don't want to lose it. I tell you, you take the mark of the beast. Because they are going to tell you that get yourself vaccinated, take the mask, get your people vaccinated, and have your normal service. And because majority of us, we love people, we're going to do it. That is why if this is the Lord will do to people, it is the church we are registering for the mark of the beast. You are the people who tell your members, this is what is coming. Lose that church. The building, you do not do it with your own money. It is God that sends people to bring the tithe and the offering. So now, if the church is attended, let us leave it there. You pray to the Lord and the Lord will tell you what to do with it. I say, me, you already have work. If me, I had landed property, I just need some chamber and work for me and my wife. The rest, I sell it and get cash. Now, I go to the Lord in prayer and tell him, God, I've sold all. I know they are going to take it. I wouldn't want them to take it for free. So it will be better I use it for the kingdom. So Lord, I've sold it. This is the money I have. What should I do with it? And I know the Lord is going to teach us. I'll tell you the truth. I tell you, it's very bitter. It's very hard. But this is the bitter truth coming. We are going to be treated like animals. You wouldn't have anybody to talk for you. You do not have the mark of the beast. Going to the police station. The police will see you as an enemy coming to affect you with disease. He wants to shoot you or kick you before even you get there. This is what is coming. And for our security agencies, take this. Me and my backbone, the one who comes after me, is a policewoman. She's married to a policeman. I told them 2 years ago that if they don't find a different job, they will take the mark of the beast. Security agencies, you're going to take it. Financial sector, the banks, you're going to take it. Get it ready. Those they call you essential services, you're going to take it. Pray to the Lord about it. Leave it all. This is the word of God. This is the warning from the Lord. Be a child of Issachar, know the time and know what to do. For we are about to lose everything. If you trust in God. Now, God wants us to get out of the assistance. because they will tie the mark of the beast to the system they have. So God wants us to be withdrawing from their system, to be withdrawing. My dear brother, my dear sister, as I said, I've recorded this. It's available already. I sent it on the 11th. If you have not yet received it and you want to receive it, you just send me a WhatsApp on this number. That is 0204-200-444. I can add you to one of the groups so that you will be receiving daily messages. Now we are on WhatsApp. A time is coming, we cannot be on WhatsApp. You cannot get to me again. So get the messages and put them down. You put them on your phone. You will listen for some time. It will get to some time. The phone, you cannot also use it. So it is state by state, state by state. So if you don't get to know the times, it will be a big problem for you and for me. God and may Jesus Christ be with us.
Amen. You know, as I said, truth is bitter and truth is hard to accept. But we must do our best to take these things to the Lord in prayer. And I believe these are the times we must seek to know God for ourselves, seek to hear from God ourselves. Because if you don't know God for yourself and you are the type that is just following for following's sake, you may end up following wrongly. And that will be a big trouble for you. So these are the times you just don't do things just because this is how I do things all the time. I mean, my pastor says this, so every time my pastor says something, it must be correct. We are at the point where everything and every time something comes, cross-check with the word of God. Cross-check with the word of God. Because, you see, example is Peter and Jesus. Jesus asks, who do men say that I am? Oh, Peter quickly said, then soon after, the devil is also speaking through him. So, it's a daily thing. It's not, you don't trust someone forever. You trust someone day by day when it comes to spiritual things. So if today I'm on track, it doesn't mean next week, if I say something, you don't cross check, because I can also make a mistake. And so that's why these are not the times where you follow blindly. You follow your church blindly. You follow your leaders blindly. Follow with the word of God as a cross check. So as soon as you see an error, then you know what to do. As soon as there's a deviation, you know what to do. Because if you just follow blindly, as most Christians have been doing, it's like, this is my church, and so it's like, even when the church is in error, well, I mean, I've had instances where people have said things like that, you know, if it was so, my pastor would have said it. So if my pastor has not said it, then that's not what the word of God says. So that's not, you know, how can your pastor be the standard of the word of God? No. You see, so these are the errors we should avoid in these latter days. Because these are not the time to be making errors at all. These are not the time to be making errors. It gets to a point where we must be straightforward, we must be strict, and we must stay on course. So if we get distracted at these times when we need the absolute and most concentration, then it will be a big error on our part. And I believe as we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us, He Himself will show us what to do at each stage and at each point in time. You know, there's been countless messages, you know, this audio, I had to compress it like earlier the prophecies, he said a few things, and it also confirms what other men of God, even in Ghana here, have said, that the Lord has given us 2020 to prepare as Christians. 2020 is a year of preparation for Christians, because what is coming, and even the year of preparation, because see what we are seeing. I mean, let's look at what we are seeing, even the preparation or preparatory stage. So imagine when the real show starts unfolding, it's going to be terrible. And there's a reason why God will say we should prepare spiritually, emotionally, and all. Because if you are not prepared for what is coming, I tell you, it's going to be really awful. Because what the Lord is showing people, I've been reading lots of messages, prophetic messages. The Lord is giving dreams. People are getting, some they got it years back, some 10 years ago, and all. And it's happening. You are seeing it unfolding in our time now, this year. So if it has started unfolding, clearly tells you that these things are true. And why would you then want to downplay prophecies which are already unfolding right before your eyes? Some even who prophesied it, and some have even died and gone. I mean, but it's happening because truth stands. Truth will stand no matter how many years it will stand. And we are seeing it happening. We thank God for tonight. This is Eben. Brother Yao joined by phone. This will be uploaded.